Welcome to season 11 of Digital Learning Radio. I'm Laura, and I'm so happy to be joined by my co-host, Catherine.
Hello.
And this season of the podcast, we're continuing the conversation of sharing what is inspiring us on our ongoing story of learning. This week, Catherine will be sharing what's been inspiring her, and I'm looking forward to hearing all about it. And as a reminder, this season, we're asking what, so what, and now what to guide our structure and conversations.
I am ready to share, but first let's do a check-in with you and circle back to the now what part of our conversation from last week. We got to hear about practicing priority listing from you. So how's it going? How have you continued your learning or application of this idea?
I think our conversation last week really got me thinking and looking for opportunities to share this practice with others beyond just the webinar that I've dedicated to this particular chapter from Compassionate Coaching that focuses on overload. So I've been looking intentionally for other meetings and professional development sessions to introduce and share this idea, particularly right now amidst the wildness and busyness that is the spring semester. I know you and I have talked about potentially adding it to an upcoming session that we're collaborating on as well. Mm-hmm. And so really, I've just been considering the bigger picture about using this as a practice beyond the limited context that I had been talking about the book or only with coaches. Plus, I really have used it to help prioritize and organize my own kind of swirling ideas about designing professional learning for upcoming summer sessions and really thinking about that component of what makes a difference, as well as embracing the mental clarity of crossing some things off as not nows.
I love that you are expanding this to thinking beyond coaches, but I have really started thinking about this personally. And thanks to you, Laura, I've restructured my own to-do notes and templates based on the ideas and categories. And I started it this week and I've already worked to refine it based on what you shared. So I looked at your document and then after our recording, I'll show you my template that I've created based on what you shared.
Cool. I love that. Way to just jump in and make it happen.
All right. So before I dive in to share what's inspiring me this week, I'd love to hear from you too. Laura, tell us about a quick win that's inspiring you this week.
Okay. So my quick win of the week is truly both quick and a win. And it is using the Adobe Creative Cloud Express logo maker to create these really nice looking AI generated logos. You don't have to be signed up or in or anything. You can just access the site and you can browse existing and customizable templates to create a logo. Or you can do my favorite thing, which I'm calling Mad Libs for Logos, because it's a fill in the blank to gather information about this logo you're creating. So you'll get this prompt that says, my blank business is called blank and my slogan is blank. So you just fill those in and then you are invited to choose a style. You can choose bold, elegant, modern, or decorative. And they give you the option to choose an icon as well. And then from there, it creates a page of several logos to choose from. You can go in and further customize them by color or font. It's really fun. It's free. I think it has a lot of uses. So check it out. Again, it is both quick and I think a win.
Oh my goodness. Yes. And when you shared this, I jumped in and started thinking about logos for Coffee EDU and any tool that can make my work look prettier in such a fast way. I am all for that. So thank you, Adobe Express.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I was thinking about, oh, why don't I create a logo for this particular session or this particular topic? So I perhaps might be going logo overboard, but it's really fun to play with.
Nice.
All right. So Catherine, let's get to it and start with the what of today's podcast and tell us what is inspiring you to learn this week.
Okay, Laura. Burnout is a condition that has been on many people's minds, including mine. And what about you?
Yes.
So I have curated a lot of information about burnout And I thought that would be useful for others to hear. So today I'm attempting to narrow down some of the resources I've gathered. And I recently discovered a fantastic article from the Headspace team, and that's the meditation app that I use most frequently. So I'm mostly sharing ideas from their article, How to Deal with Burnout. Okay. But before we get started, my disclaimer, I am not a counselor or any kind of burnout professional. I have just collected so much information and I'm trying to organize and just share resources that have been helpful for other people, myself included.
I love this. My curiosity is definitely piqued. And so I'm excited to hear more about what you've curated and have to share. So let's pull up the timer. And so in 60 seconds or less, give us the gist. Tell us more about this post, How to Deal with Burnout. Ready?
Yes.
All right.
So the article begins by classifying burnout as an occupational phenomenon. And it's tied to workplace stress or also caregiving or activism. So burnout is typically a Monday to Friday, 9 to 5 issue, and it often disappears on the weekends or holidays, although burnout from caregiving and activism can be ongoing. The article really goes into depth of 3 different types or subtypes of burnout. And the first one is frenetic burnout, and that's where people are profoundly exhausted. The second type is under challenge burnout, and that occurs when a worker is not engaged and they're not receiving feedback or appreciation. The third type is worn out burnout, and that occurs after a long period of feeling undervalued or ineffectively managed. And because we can't just all take a vacation or find a new job, the article suggests we zero in on the burnout subtypes.
I'll let you finish that sentence.
Okay. And then find specific solutions that are aligned to those categories. So we'll go into those in our conversation.
Oh man. Okay. Already I have so many questions. I have lots of things running through my mind. But let me let you give us more info first. So let's dive a little bit deeper and give you this opportunity to tell us more and answer this. So what about burnout? And this burnout article is really inspiring you to learn.
First, because burnout has been such a frequent topic or discussion or things that I've just heard in conversations with educators, I've been working to understand it for myself and to support others. At a recent meeting I helped facilitate, burnout was overwhelmingly shared as a current struggle. And in fact, your ending quote in last week's podcast episode from Compassionate Coaching even mentioned burnout and the importance of finding support for educators facing overwhelm. And also one of your favorite things from last year was the burnout book from Emily and Amelia Nagowski. So burnout is just in every experience right now. So
absolutely.
That's one thing that's really inspiring me. So I'm adding a little bit more. I heard on a Teaching in Higher Ed podcast, an interview with Jonathan Malisik, who is the author of a new book called The End of Burnout. And a big idea that Jonathan describes in his book was the inaccuracy of the data about burnout. He discusses the lack of precision of language about burnout. People say they're burnout, but that could mean tired or frustrated or all kinds of different things. And so this Headspace article, by addressing that subtype of burnout, really narrows in on what we mean by burnout. A lot of times we think of burnout as physically and mentally exhausted. So that's frenetic burnout, but there are other categories and consequences. So we need to do more than just address that exhaustion piece.
Oh, I love that clarity, and that makes so much sense. And once we, I think, have that power of language to be able to name exactly what we're feeling or maybe how and why we're feeling it, that can be so powerful. Okay. I am really interested in these different subtypes though. So I would love to hear more about them. Tell us about what the article says. Let's just start with the first one, frenetic burnout. What does it look like? And more importantly, do they give any possible solutions?
Okay. Yes. Frenetic burnout means that people are exhausted and they're so committed to their work that they may neglect boundaries and end up profoundly exhausted physically and emotionally. Mm-hmm. In addition, and this is lightly mentioned here, but also in that end of burnout book, there are systemic problems and looking at productivity and overwork as a badge of honor. Mm. So possible solutions for this exhaustion would be breaks and boundaries. Since the article is from Headspace, it mentions meditation or breathing breaks as one simple solution, even a micro 1 minute breath break. But the things that I've also thought about is just really taking the lunch break, away from your computer. I know so many educators who are just like, let me just keep working during lunch. I've got these last things to do. So stepping away. Things that I've actually tried, I've turned off most notifications on my phone. So that's establishing a boundary. I deleted my work email from my phone at Christmas. It's scandalous and haven't added it back. Mm. And then something that I did while I was in the classroom is I decided on some work home boundaries, such as no schoolwork on particular days of the week, or just setting like Saturday is my schoolwork time, things like that. So for this, exhaustion breaks and boundaries are possible solutions.
I love that it kind of explains how that feels, because I felt very seen listening to that description, thinking specifically about pandemic times when those boundaries kind of went away and our work life was our home life, and neglecting those boundaries, I think, is so easy to do, particularly when there's just so much going on and everyone is such a hard worker. And then, that feeling of exhaustion is real. I love that it just, I think, so beautifully encapsulates how that feels, but I also love that there are some solutions as well. Okay, good stuff. What about the next category? Talk to us about burnout from being under-challenged.
So under-challenged burnout is the opposite of frenetic burnout. And this is shown as losing complete interest in our work because work seems boring. It's not stimulating. We're not receiving any kind of acknowledgement. And most often, according to this article, caregiving falls into that role. So if you're caring for elderly parents, or you've got all the kids at home or kids in the classroom, those kinds of things. The consequence of this type of burnout is that it produces feelings of personal inefficacy. So it feels like our work doesn't matter or make a difference. If you have colleagues who are suffering from this type of burnout, providing accolades and messages of appreciation may help with that. So even just any kind of recognition for those. The Headspace article also mentions the idea of job crafting, which was new to me. And some of these really work for educational roles. Job crafting consists of task crafting, where you alter what you do, relationship crafting, who you work with, and cognitive crafting, which means you modify the work so it feels more meaningful.
Interesting.
Okay, so I was first thinking, oh, we can't recraft our jobs as educators, but then I really started digging in. And so for instance, for task crafting, an example of this podcast is how we change up our duties and roles for the podcast. So if I'm burned out because of what I do, Laura is usually the one who does all of the notes and the scripts and the templates, and I take care of the editing. And so we could flip-flop those resources. Now, I love the editing. And right before we started recording, Laura's like, I love doing the template part of this. So I don't want us to switch that role.
Okay, good. I have to say, I was like, oh no, please don't make me learn how to do the editing. I mean, okay, that seems good, but what is a worry-induced burnout? You might be giving it to me.
Another idea I was thinking in my previous role as an instructional coach, I facilitated the math and social studies and world languages PLCs, and my partner did English and science. So we could have flip-flopped our different departments that we worked with. If you in a PLC, I was thinking like I was typically the one writing our weekly quizzes and someone mm-hmm. else was bringing the data in and someone else was talking about lesson activity. So we could all swap roles for that. I love this quote. It says, putting these three job crafting tactics into practice has the potential to disrupt the monotony of work and dramatically shift the way one sees their role, pulling you away from the apathetic feelings that often come up with this burnout type.
Wow. I love this. And I am really having kind of my wheels spin thinking about this. I think I recently learned this phrase, job crafting, and I thought it was really cool, but I didn't really know about these specific things you can do. I was thinking it was more like create the job you want and then make it happen in mm-hmm. this kind of like mm-hmm. magical, but not really real way. Mm-hmm. And so I love the tangible examples that you provided to just mix it up some and be in charge of the things you can be in charge of. The one that I'm thinking about is relationship crafting. On teams, we always work with the people who are on our team, but something that I'm remembering back from being on campuses and then kind of in my current role, who you partner with and work with really can change your workflow and how that goes. And so, yeah, you might still be working really closely with your specific or assigned team. But I think for me and for us at Region 10, the pandemic was an interesting way to have time viewed and experienced in a different way. And so I got to work with so many different people who were not on my team because we were a Zoom call away versus not being in the building at the same time. And that I think maybe dramatically changed my everyday. And so thinking about doing that on campus as well, ooh, reaching out to someone else to collaborate a little bit differently really can change that. So I love that that was an addition as well.
Well, and then thinking even about social media, this is where social media is good. Then you build those relationships, or like in your compassionate coaching webinars, you've had the same core group of people. So maybe mm-hmm. they've built a relationship and they can collaborate there. So that's another area that can expand who you work with.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. Okay. I want to hear about the third one now. Give us more information about this worn out burnout. And again, if there are any solutions that go with it.
Okay. So this type of burnout often occurs after a long period of feeling undervalued and unrecognized or ineffectively managed or having a lack of control. The consequence is that people may feel complete disregard for their work and even show outward signs of neglect. So this burnout also results in cynicism or depersonalization. An example I heard of this is when healthcare workers become so depersonalized, they're saying instead of a patient's name, they identify them like, oh, that pneumonia in room 3.
Interesting.
So the Headspace article suggests focusing on cultivating relationships, both inside and outside of work. So when you find connections in a workspace, then that can help decrease feelings of isolation, and it can help you feel reestablished, especially if you've been isolated from remote worlds. Mm-hmm. If you nurture relationships outside of work, this can provide a safe place to vent and a place to escape work talk. I know that in so many things that we've read, it all goes back to relationships, everything mm-hmm. for increasing happiness. So I like that that was a possible solution, is really finding time to nurture those relationships to help overcome this worn out burnout.
Hmm. Catherine, so many good things. I'm going to go back to the very top, though. And the thing that is still sticking out in my mind is the maybe more narrow focus or description that burnout can be this occupational phenomenon. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it dissipates or goes away on the weekends, or it is really a 9-to-5 issue. And that is something that I don't think I ever thought about or maybe named, but it really makes sense. And again, the clarity of language to be able to figure out maybe which piece of burnout you might be feeling or experiencing, and also really love that there are pretty tangible solutions for each one.
Well, I really do think that, and I think it's back to Brené Brown, who talks about the precision of language. And so first thinking, okay, if it is an occupational phenomenon, and then thinking about those three subtypes, and then that will really help us narrow in to small concrete steps to overcome or reestablish our life of flourishing rather than the burnout.
I like that phrase as well. Mm-hmm. Okay. So is there anything else that you'd like to share that you haven't yet, maybe beyond those three categories, or just anything else in the information you've curated that you want to share?
Well, I guess tying up the last bit of what you just mentioned from that End of Burnout book, Jonathan Mlesick points out that burnout is not permanent. Mm-hmm. And he challenges us to create a new ideal about how work fits into a life well lived. Mm. And the Headspace article ends with the same thoughts. And it says that we need to undergo a hard reset with our long-term relationship with work. And it's important that we take on the challenge to establish new boundaries and practices that can benefit work-life balance for years to come. So, yeah,
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay. So are you going to be creating cross-stitch pillows of all of these? Because I want them all. Please create an Etsy shop, job craft yourself an Etsy shop, because so many of these phrases are so great and something that I need to see maybe on a cross-stitched pillow. So I'm going to challenge you to work on that for me.
Okay.
but truly, you know, like you said, I think working with teachers and coaches and educators right now, this word burnout is coming up over and over and over mm-hmm. again, and it's hard to know how to combat it and what to do with it. So again, I love just this feeling seen, explaining mm-hmm. a variety of ways this can manifest, and again, things to do about it. So I'm so glad that you were inspired to share with the rest of us here.
Thank you. And mm-hmm. ditto, you feel seen, and it is nice to have some possible solutions and that it's not permanent. You know, we can overcome.
Absolutely. Okay. So as you know, another idea we're practicing this season is to use each episode as a place to launch further thinking. We want to challenge each other to apply what we share as we consider now what. So now what? What are some next steps from here? How might you incorporate some ideas from this idea of how to deal with burnout, the article in your work, or further your own learning and experience?
Well, I had no idea, in addition to this article, at how much information I had compiled about burnout until I started sorting through my notes and planning for this podcast episode. So I hope I've convinced you, Laura, to try a mashup session, because so many of the things you've mentioned in compassionate coaching could fit into one of these mm-hmm. categories as solutions. So stay tuned for another sort of session, a webinar, or additional work. So that's on my mind right now. I want to share this work with as many people as possible and hopefully help identify solutions for educators.
I love that. I love that. I also like that you kind of tricked me, and the now what is to have me create a session with you, but it is so relevant and so good. And like you said, I think would make such a perfect mashup with a lot of the things that I've shared both here and other places from compassionate coaching. So I think it's a great mashup, but yes, thank you for including me in your next steps of now what.
Resort to trickery for Laura.
Gets me every time.
Yes.
All right. Well, we'd also like to extend the invitation to you, dear listener, to share your ongoing story of learning as well. Take a moment to pause and think wherever you're listening from and consider, What ideas have you heard today that have sparked your interest and inspired further learning about burnout?
And new this season, join us for an experiment. After listening to our episode, you are invited to complete a reflection form linked in the show notes to share what you learned and how you plan to integrate the information. You'll then receive a certificate of credit for your thoughtful responses. You can also find us on Twitter at Dig Learn Radio to continue the conversation and share your own learning that's inspiring you this week.
This season, we're dedicated to sharing our learning and the things that are inspiring us. We hope that when we share, the conversation and ideas will cultivate curiosity and inspire you to explore one of the resources, reflect on a question we've asked, or continue the conversation with us online. Reflect to consider the what, now what, and so what of your thinking. Share your learning inspirations and ideas from this episode and beyond. We are, as ever, inspired to learn from Gail Allen and her work in The New Pillars of Modern Teaching. She reminds us that when we share, we add a sentence to the story we communicate about ourselves to the world. Let's continue learning, sharing, and transforming. Let's get inspired.